Welcome to The Catalyst, where we explore creative ideas to spark innovation in an unhealthy healthcare system. I'm your host, Dr. Lara Salyer, a physician and mom of three, who is reimagining the way I practice medicine after suffering and overcoming burnout. Join me as I teach you how to optimize flow and catalyze your own revolution in healing. Tune in for candid conversations with leading experts in conventional and holistic healthcare who dare to believe a better future is possible for all of us. Life is made of teeny catalytic moments of immense impact. When strung together, the transformation is magical. Join us and let's color outside the lines. Welcome to the Catalyst Podcast, where you get to meet Dr. Romy Mushtaq. This is a dynamic interview, and you'll see why. We align with so many things on healthcare, burnout, wellness, brain, creativity, etc. Dr. Romy Mushtaq is a board-certified physician who brings together more than two decades of leadership in neurology, integrative medicine, and mindfulness. She is an award-winning speaker working with Fortune 500 companies, professional athletes, and global associations. Her brain shift programs improve mental well-being and help to bring a culture of wellness. Dr. Romy serves as Chief Wellness Officer for Great Wolf Resorts. Her expertise is being featured in national media such as NPR, NBC, TED Talks, and Forbes. Her first book, The Busy Brain Cure, was just published by HarperCollins in January 2024. And in our discussion, we talk all about the three key symptoms that you may be suffering from busy brain syndrome and what to do about it. We talk about three things needed to create this culture shift in healthcare. And you're going to learn why self-compassion and non-attachment are two great ways to kickstart your own burnout recovery. So stay tuned to Dr. Romy Mushtaq as we discuss the busy brain cure. I'm so thrilled on this Catalyst Podcast episode to be interviewing Dr. Romy Mushtaq, and she is a leading expert in the busy brain syndrome. We have so many things to talk about. I'm just going to dive right in, Romy. Let's chat. Let's talk about women in medicine and burnout and brains and all this wonderful culture change that needs to happen.
Lara, thank you for having me. You know, it's so synchronous that you and I are meeting at this time. I was eager to sit and talk with you, and we're recording this interview in Women's History Month. And so I really want to take a pause for all of our listeners, women, our male allies, and just recognize of how hard it is today to be a woman in science, technology, engineering, math, and medicine. And when you and I came up the pipeline, I entered neurology at a time where less than 5% of the brain doctors in America were women. And the journey you and I have done, and you know, we were talking before the podcast, is you are Dr. Lara, I am Dr. Romy, or you are Dr. Saylor, I am Dr. Mushtaq, because girls can't be it unless they can see it. And yes. We just start from that place of grounding ourselves in power and intention.
Yes, I love this. So talk to me about what led you on this path to really provide this knowledge and wisdom to the world that you wanted to birth this busy brain.
Yes. You know, my journey, you know, I'll tell you this, Lara, because I don't know if any of your other colleagues listening or people that'll be in my community listening, I will say, looking back now, I didn't know it when I was struggling my entire career. I've always been in the room 5 to 10 years too early. Like, you know, being a neurologist as a woman, studying women's hormones in the brain as they change with epilepsy and talking about sexual dysfunction and menopause at a time nobody was. And that research is still out there. I brought after, you know, I was one of the first TED Talks out there to talk about burnout and mental health crisis, not only in doctors, but for everyone. So then that led to a corporate speaking career. And I was introducing mindfulness and meditation into corporate America, again, 5 to 10 years before the apps had arrived and it became a normal app or conversation. And now I was in 2018 named one of the first doctors that was a chief wellness officer in America, and in a non-healthcare, it's in hospitality tourism management company that started. And my job was to create a holistic mindfulness and wellness program for over 7,000 employees. And we did it. You know, if you talk to any other HR executive, chief wellness officer today, because there's hundreds of us today inside healthcare and outside, they'll say, you know, we roll out these programs and maybe we get 1-5% engagement at Evolution Hospitality, which people will read the research and my book, The Busy Brain Cure. We had a high adaptation rate of over 70%.
Amazing.
And so that's what led me being in workplace wellness for now 8 years, as you and I recorded this podcast. It really had me observing as the neurologist I am and researching. And just to say, I'm here with you who understands healing burnout. Ain't nobody want to listen to Lara, just eat berries. And breathe. And everything is going to be just fine. And let's just throw you back in the toxic culture that spit you out in the first place, you know? And that's why I'm here today with the Busy Brain Cure. And we can
absolutely. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. Just even starting there, just looking at the stats that show physicians have some of the highest resiliency scores. And yet 29% of the top resilient physicians still suffer burnout. And when you look at all these other metrics, we don't need grit. We don't need, and yet we have these, you know, resiliency seminars that teach you some yoga and expect you to go right back to your shift where you have an inbox that has 200 messages and all of these things. So for me personally, when I look and dive into that research, I feel somewhat hopeless. It's a systemic issue. So I'm really enamored with the fact that you were able to create culture change. Tell me, what are those keys? How do you think you were able to get this culture change?
Well, you know, it's not me alone. It's a we, first of all, and it's leadership training. And I can say I've definitely spent the last 8 years developing myself as a leader. I was already the reluctant leader inside neurology leading change, but without honed leadership skills. So that's step number one, is do the work. Yes, it's great to read all the leadership books that are out there, but really get a good coach, go to seminars, create that change, have accountability. But the second thing is I was blessed to have a visionary CEO at the time, John Murphy at Evolution Hospitality, who founded it, and an entire C-suite. This was a busy organization like healthcare. We manage hotels that are open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And they were scaling rapidly and had just been sold and acquired. And now I'm at Great Wolf Resorts as their chief wellness officer, following my CEO who went there. And my job is to create a culture of wellness for over 12,000 PAC members, is our employees. We call them PAC members. And this is our part-time PAC members who are in high school and college and working at the front desk of the resort or in retail or as lifeguards, all the way up to our corporate leaders, right? And what that is three things that I think you partially hit on it, and I partially did. So I want to bring it together. That when you're talking about building a culture of wellness, there are three key components. One is operational excellence, which you and I are going to tackle in a second. The second piece is a culture of belonging. And the third part is wellness. So yes, we do need wellness programs, but what I hear and see in the engagement literature in most healthcare systems is we don't have a culture of belonging. You know, you read and I'm very candid in chapter 3 and 4 of my book, The Busy Brain Cure. You hear the awful things that male colleagues said to me. And I don't do it to trauma dump. I've gone through therapy and healed it, but it's 2024, Laura. I still meet women physicians in every specialty who are hearing this nonsense from our male colleagues. Things like, you shouldn't be paid as much as me because you're not working as hard. You're distracted being a mother. 2, you need to work like a man. 3, work-life balance is a problem only women deal with because they're worried about their children. Like, you hear this toxicity.
Yes.
And there's still a pay gap. The pay gap is identical today in 2024 between women physicians and our male counterparts in every specialty. It's the exact same within the 1990s when I went into neurology. So we have a problem. And so that's the belonging piece, not to mention men and women of other marginalized communities. And then there's the wellness part. So we have to take care of our wellness. So we can't ignore that. But what you're alluding to and you just said, and we could unpack this, but I don't think it's the best use of our time. You need someone else to discuss operations. Is there are operational issues that are overwhelming in healthcare, and not every healthcare system. Some healthcare systems are getting it right, but the operational issues, the example is the EHR crisis, the lack of nursing, you know, to patient ratio is suboptimal, you know, the shortened office visits for primary care doctors. Those are operational problems that need to be addressed. If we just focus on that, you and I are going to feel hopeless. But if you create a culture of belonging and wellness, now you have the leadership wherewithal, you have complete buy-in of people. Now we get to shift the operational issues and create change.
Hey, have you visited the Catalyst Way yet? It's an online hub that I designed just for you, where I help you spark creativity, passion, and flow to help you build your own self-expressive work-life masterpiece. I packed a ton of magic inside the Catalyst Way. There's downloadable freebies like the Catalyst Calendar Time Management System and Functional Micropractice Checklist. You can also earn 10 hours of CME while you rediscover your own unique play and flow. And also connect with me for one-on-one personal and professional mentorship options. But first, pause at the top of the page and take the free Catalyst Archetype quiz. It's more than just finding out who you are. It's about unlocking your fullest potential and harmonizing that work-life masterpiece. Are you a passionate, fervent flame, always leading the charge? Maybe you're a reflective river, providing calm and care in the storm of healthcare. Or maybe a wise wind, bringing innovative solutions to old problems. Or maybe you're like me, the resolute rock, the dependable backbone of your team. Each archetype will be matched to a downloadable assessment that helps you leverage those strengths and find your ideal play activity. Imagine that. Imagine knowing exactly what fuels your fire, where to avoid the risk of burnout, what soothes your soul, and what grounds your thoughts. Picture harnessing these insights as you transform the way that you work, live, and play. Visit the Catalyst Way at drlarasalyer.com/catalyst and take the quiz today. That's drlarasalyer.com/catalyst and keep coloring outside the lines.
I love this, Dr. Romy, because you have touched on a lot of those elements that we see creeping outside of just the men and women gender gap and all of those. I mean, even that sense of belonging and community, many hospitals are built now without doctors' lounges. We don't have separate doctors' cafeterias. We don't have separate recognition that lets us sit in our own community.
Oh, girl. Recognition. Can I tell you a story about recognition? Child. Oh, recognition. My last hospital in Arizona, it would be Doctor's Day. And you know, some poor admin had to like write out 300-400 cards. Every year I would get a coffee mug with the hospital name on it. And do you think I wanted to be sitting at home reminded of the name of the hospital I work at? Because my beeper was going off all the time. I'm that old. We had beepers. Okay. But the card would say, "Dear Dr. Mustache." So they didn't even get my name right. But then again, I'm a woman and they were calling me Dr. Mustache. And then I became paranoid. Like, wait, am I like turning into one of my aunties?
Right.
And I have more hair on my upper lip and on my chin than I do on my head. Call the vaccine lady now. Help. Right?
Right. The universe has spoken. Yes.
Right. And it was very interesting when in 2013, my contract was up for renewal in Arizona. And I went into the CEO's office and I told him I'm leaving. And they were like, they thought I was leaving to another hospital. They absolutely all thought I was insane when I told them I was leaving to go do an integrative medicine fellowship and start a different career path. Like back then, doctors weren't leaving the way they are now. And I think they all thought I was crazy. And trust me, there were moments I thought I was crazy too. But he stopped and said, "You know, Dr. Mushtaq, I just want to thank you because we didn't have pediatric neurology here in this town in Arizona. And even on the days you weren't on call, everywhere I go in the community, parents stop me to thank me and say, she came in on a day off. She saved us an $800 ambulance ride to a bigger city. She took care of our child in a time of need." And I started to cry. And you know, this is the cardinal sin as a female physician in the world.
Yes. Never show tears.
Never show tears, which I was guilty of many a time. And I was sobbing, and he started to ask why I was sobbing. And I told him, in all the years I was at this hospital, patients would tell me thank you all the time, but never did anybody in administration say thank you. I didn't even know that you all knew that I had done all this. And it was an honest moment of pause for that CEO too, to like, how was it that for years he would go in the community and people were thanking him and he never paused to say thank you? So to any leader listening right now, because I have a global corporate community,
gratitude.
Do you express gratitude? Do you, from a heart-centered space, recognize colleagues and team members outside of the appreciation days?
Yeah, or not the pizza vouchers. No.
Yeah. Yeah. Or not the coffee mugs, or honestly, not the days where, you know, in corporate America and even in medicine, you get recognized if you exceed your RVU or if you exceed your sales goal. But how about just thank you for being here today?
Yes.
Thank you for speaking up in that meeting. Like, people want to be seen and heard. And that's the culture of belonging.
Absolutely. And you're right. You touched on the RVUs. And I remember in my own practice working with a partner who was a high RVU producer, worked long hours, and whatever he wanted, he got because he was a high producer. But yet, why are we measuring our worth in RVUs as a physician, right?
So even if you are, because it's a business to run, right. I'm going to play devil's advocate here, yep. Right? Is because I was always a high RVU producing doctor back then in neurology and epilepsy. We would bleed at RVUs because of the procedures we were doing. Things have changed now, right? Even then, there was never a thank you. It was always, oh, wait, she hit her RVU targets. Let's raise them again. They were playing that dirty game, right? Yes. So I really want to say this, that, you know, it's a perception that those of us that are high RVU earning people are getting our way in the hospital. It's not true. Like, when I talk to colleagues, you know, we may look at the people bringing in the money, the people we assume have power, they are suffering burnout just like you and I. Absolutely. I want to have compassion for every colleague, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So talking about belonging and talking about wellness, let's talk a little bit about that personal wellness. Like you said, if we focus on operational systems, I mean, it is kind of a hot mess, right? You know, EHR takes over, but that's actually only 20% of the variance of burnout metrics. And when we look at trying to balance all those three elements, when you've created this culture shift with your team, tell me more about some things that you were able to do that helped buoy them.
Yeah. I want to just talk to this point is I want to give a personal example. When I had a busy brain and a burnout, and you and I are going to define busy brain in a second here, I may have had the right operational idea. And if, Laura, you were my hospital administrator and I came to you and said, I can't do my job or hit my RVUs without you getting one more EEG machine and another trained EEG tech, because the machines we have are outdated and one keeps, you know, burning out, and I need another tech because we only have one on at a time and you're expecting me to hit an unreasonable RVU goal. Look at what I was doing. It's like you energy. It's like I'm pointing a dagger at you in the anger. And that's what I hear from hospital administrators and leaders all the time. When we don't take care of our burnout, I may have the absolute right operational idea. I came with a spreadsheet proving if you spend X on a machine and X on an employee, I can bring in revenue. But because I didn't do it from a place of thoughtful leadership and communication, that I'm not going to get buy-in. And now I'm labeled as the difficult doctor. And it's even more layered and nuanced because I'm a woman doctor. So you get labeled as angry and aggressive, and I'm a woman of color, right? So there's all those layers. When we heal our burnout, right? I can now approach you when we heal a busy brain from a place of leadership and buy-in. And that's the difference that I see with high-performing teams. It's, hey, Dr. Laura, you and I haven't had a chance to get to know each other. It's you and I having a lunch, a coffee, a dinner, just getting to know each other. And say, on that meeting saying, Dr. Laura, I have some operational ideas. You know, they I feel they could be beneficial, not only to the neurology division, but to the hospital as a whole. Could I schedule a meeting with you or the people who make these decisions? And I'll send you a slide deck with some of my ideas ahead of time. And I would love to hear your thoughts. Just look at that change in energy. And that's the difference between teams that are communicating from a place of burnout and lack of belonging versus effective communication when we both are healed and we're not, you know, having a shield up in front of us, which yeah. what burnout does. We're so traumatized. We have a shield up and we're constantly throwing daggers or avoiding those communication daggers. And that's what we need to clear.
So true. And easier said than done, I believe, because burnout comes from a deep source of grief that what you thought would be your medical career, the landscape, is not matching reality. And so, like you said, we have a shield up, we're defensive. And I think Schanefeld did a study where if we teach physicians more self-compassionate leadership skills,
yes.
more of that acceptance commitment therapy yeah. type of situation, yeah. you yeah. can raise yourself into this space out of yes. this angry, yeah. you know, sympathetic yeah. fight or flight. So tell me more about this busy brain syndrome.
You keep asking me about that, but you said something that could I double click on this? Because I want us to have the conversation. You said burnout. I love this. Comes from a place of grief when physicians can't practice the way they intended to, right? Mm-hmm. I call burnout that our spirit is no longer aligned with our soul compass or our purpose in life. And that will, when our spirit is out of alignment, because in integrative medicine, we treat mind, body, spirit, it starts to have the mental health problems. So all the mental health issues that can come with burnout and then the physical health consequences, which people, you know, hear about in my TED Talk or read about in my book. And I really want to honor that. And some people don't even like using the word burnout in the workplace anymore, that it is issues that have to do that is nuanced with diversity, equity, inclusion, belonging that we covered, with moral injury, with trauma, right? So I really want to, and all of that, to your amazing point, leads to grief. Mm-hmm. It is, I am grieving a loss of my identity. And, you know, I have mixed feelings about this, and I've been eager to talk to you about this. Like, I was raised from childhood with the success mantra from immigrant parents and my dad, a doctor. We have one daughter, you will become a doctor. And my first toy that I remember being emotionally attached to was a neon Fisher-Price stethoscope. And like, it was my emotional support toy. If it went missing and I went to preschool without my neon stethoscope because dad went with his stethoscope to work, like, it was hell to pay in preschool, right? Like, my teachers were like, good God, like, give her another stethoscope, like, you know? And it was my identity. And there are people that say we have to take the doctor and the healer identity away from us. For me, even now that I'm a female founder and I'm a chief wellness officer working in corporate America, being a doctor and healer is a part of my identity. And I don't, help me understand that part, because a lot of people are going to hear this conversation. What do you think about that?
Of the identity? I think it's a yes and situation. I think mm-hmm. that unfortunately, many of us are too Velcroed to that identity. I feel like we need to explore other labels of identity for ourselves. And sometimes through the methods of training in medical school, that kind of boot camp mentality of you just shed every other piece of your identity to make it through.
We have
so many other clinicians that have put their hobbies on the shelf, have stopped mm-hmm. painting and drawing and running because they're just trying to make it through. And that's my mission, is that sixth vital sign. What is your yeah. sixth vital sign of creativity? How are you mm-hmm. nourishing yourself to keep those identities and not mm-hmm. make medicine your sole identity? I agree mm-hmm. with you. It is our identity as healers, but it shouldn't be. Yeah, yes. It shouldn't be everything.
But the problem is like, you know, and it has to be rigid, our training and our specialties, right? We learn the protocols, we learn the science, we, you know, learn all of that. But remember that I have an identity now as a doctor and a healer that is now being shared with the world in a way that's in alignment with my soul, that may not be the dogmatic way I was trained.
Absolutely. That is
a part of it, to your point, but there's so much more.
And yeah, it's giving people permission to look outside and say, how can I be self-expressive in this career of medicine? And I think that takes a little bit of wisdom and age, maybe. Maybe because, you know, we are trying to do everything right and we worry about malpractice and all these things. But once you get further out from training and you start to see the art of healing is just as important as the science of healing. Yeah. And then you're able to breathe a little and say, how can I make this a self-expressive vote of what I want to see in healthcare.
And, and I think you alluded to this, and this is where there is this awful pushback on mindfulness and mindful leadership in healthcare. And this is where, for me, I am not pushing this on anyone. Mindfulness transformed me and my healing, as well as my leadership style. Because you said it earlier, it taught me not compassion fatigue, but self-compassion and then compassion for others. Number two, non-attachment, right? So I don't have this attachment that my identity as a doctor is, did I meet my RVU target? Or did they renew my contract? My self-worth is independent of these outside goals. And so I thank you for letting us go that way. You keep asking me about busy brain, and I want to get to that. So this is for, I hope, all doctors, nurses, nurse practitioners listening to this, but this is like a special call out to neurology, psychiatry, psychology, and primary care doctors that are dealing with this. We doctors have added to the complex mental health problems. We all know about the opioid crisis, but there's another one that we've been ignoring, and I call that the stimulant sedative cycle. It's that in the West, in order to show up as a professional, whether you're a doctor or the high performing leaders I work with for a living, or just a human, it's like, in order to have energy all day, I need to be caffeinated. And in order to forget work or take the edge off, I need alcohol or some other sedative at night. And when that fails, what do doctors do? We have an ADHD crisis in adults today. So we prescribe or over-prescribe stimulants like Adderall and Vyvanse. 85% of all prescriptions in the world of these stimulant medications are prescribed here in the US.
Ooh.
And so people are doing that and then getting prescription sedatives at night, the sleeping pills, the anxiety pills, the barbiturates and benzodiazepines. And this is a prescribing crisis of what I call the stimulant sedative cycle. So what was happening was, I was here, I want to backtrack, giving keynote lectures, talking about, this is back, remember, 2014, 2015, 2016, forward-thinking companies, healthcare was not a part of this, Dr. Laura. I want to be very clear. This was my finance companies, tech companies, people like Evolution Hospitality, where I was chief wellness officer prior, were calling, and I was able to say from a large stage at a convention, to the C-suite, like, you're killing your people. We need to do something and start introducing stress management techniques and mindfulness. But then something started to happen that exploded during the pandemic. I realized I'm missing something. So we found a neuropsychology battery that already exists and had been validated that looks and gives you a stress score and measures what chronic stress is doing to your cognitive health, mental health, and physical health. And we labeled it the busy brain test. We had over 17,000 people take this test between December of 2020 and December of 2022 to understand what is the chronic stress crisis in the workplace doing to people. And the results were shocking. And that in all areas, including healthcare, about 82% of adults, majority in North America, but some in Europe because we serve global companies, were showing symptoms of chronic stress and burnout. Specifically, there's a pattern of neuroinflammation that isn't discussed in the mindfulness, emotional resilience literature where you learn about the limbic system. It's the chronic neuroinflammation that is happening in the hypothalamus that's disrupting the circadian rhythm and causing a downstream effect in the brain, mental health, and body. And this is what I call the busy brain. Three key symptoms show up in high-performing leaders, and they're not three separate diseases, but all one thing that I call the busy brain. difficulty focusing at work all the way to adult onset ADHD. Number two, anxiety, particularly ruminating anxiety. And three, associated insomnia, difficulty falling asleep due to racing thoughts or waking up in the middle of the night and inability to go back to bed. This was the crisis identified. And I would be standing on stage going, you know, I'm so blessed to have companies that call me year after year. And I'd be like, this is what the research is so showing this year. And people were like, oh my God, it's like you're inside my brain or inside my bedroom. And I'm like, we hit a nerve. So we had time during the pandemic and I was like, I need to research a cure because the nonsense that's out there in the pre-pandemic world, eat berries, breathe, that wasn't working for anybody, especially in the workplace. And we came up with the 8-week brain shift protocol to help people find focus, tame anxiety, and sleep again, essentially heal the burnout, restore their circadian rhythm. And here's the beauty. I wasn't going to put anybody on a diet. And we can break all that down. And then we tested that protocol in over 1,000 executives, including one healthcare team. So healthcare was involved in this to heal their burnout. As cynical as many people were, it was transformative. They are still on the Dr. Romy bandwagon, handing out the Busy Brain Cure book to their colleagues and patients now in Michigan. And that's where we are today. And I come to you, like, all praise to God. Like, another moment as a doctor for all women doctors, it's about a 500-to-1 ratio of a male MD, DO, or PhD getting a traditional publish book deal, meaning a 500-to-1 ratio that a man versus a woman got it. And this is published by HarperCollins and now in 7 languages globally.
Beautiful.
And the USA Today bestseller list and Amazon and Audible. And so it is, I am here today to say, I actually have the healing tools. You're burned out. My brothers, my sisters, heal. Take this 8-week protocol, go get these labs, follow this plan so you feel better, and then decide, am I going to go back and work in that hospital or that clinic, or am I going to do something else?
That's beautiful. Yes, I'm so excited and thrilled. And I have to ask, did you actually narrate your own book on Audible?
I did. I did. It was so much fun. It took 4 days. And you hear that when I have a busy brain, I internalize the voice of my elders, my aunties specifically. So the aunties make an appearance. And
love it.
When we have a busy brain, and you know this, our inner critic voice is really loud, the lack of confidence. And Dr. Laura, you and I both know those self-confidence, inner critic healing things don't work if we're burned out. And absolutely. So you see, as you heal the burnout, my inner voices, the aunties, become one of hope and wisdom towards the end of the book when you heal a busy brain.
I love it. You're yes. Mixing kind of an internal family systems and yes. Kind of parts work yes. And integration. I love it. Yes. I can't wait to read. This will be an amazing gift to our community and beyond. And I'm so great. I'm honored that you spent your time here to let us know all the wonderful yeah. Things happening in healthcare. I truly believe that we are about to embark on a renaissance where medicine is fun again. I think we just made it through the dark ages where, like you said, there's a yes. Operational, you know, disjunct where we have too many things, but now AI is going to help us fall in love because there's a lot of tasks that can be automated.
Yes.
And I really do believe the dawn is coming where it's going to be a wonderful thing to be a doctor again, where
and we can heal. I agree. So I'm, you and I are recording this 1 week prior to HIMSS happening, the Healthcare Informatic Medical Society, something. I should know the whole thing. Forgive me. I'm having a busy brain moment here with you. I'm the opening keynote. The fact that they brought me to talk about this gave me hope. They want to know what I've learned in healing burnout in thousands of people, as well as building a culture of wellness. And I'm in a room full of C-suite executives who want to know. And yes. That gave me hope that they're ready to hear this message of wellness and belonging. And here's the thing, I hope anybody listening, if you're like feeling hopeless, like it's me against the system, that's your burnout talking. And can I end with just saying one thing?
Please.
People ask me why I wrote this book. I will never, ever forget what a dark and lonely place I was in. I didn't know the word burnout. In myself, I knew mentally something was going on in my mental health. I just couldn't pinpoint it. I felt so alone walking the corridors of the hospital. And Dr. Laura, nobody asked me if I was okay. Maybe they didn't know how. They were gossiping about me. The nurses told me, my patients did, but not my colleagues before I went into life-saving surgery in 2010. And you read about that in the book. And today the pendulum has swung the other way. We look at and say, oh, she's burned out. He's burned out. We're all burned out. Please don't do that. Mm-hmm. Like, you may feel like Romy and Laura have their pie in the sky and they're out there changing systems. Well, that's her and my dharma to do that.
But we've both been through burnout. We know what it feels like.
Yeah. But it's also our dharma to heal larger systems. Do not feel hopeless that you can't change the system. You could save one colleague's life by just saying, hey, Laura, it's me, Romy. Are you okay? I want you to know I'm here without judgment and you're not alone. Just to say I am here and you're not alone is making impact in the medical system.
I love that you ended on that. That is so poignant, especially when we lose the size of a medical school class to suicide every year. I had a classmate of mine who actually died by suicide last year, and it's just touching lives more and more. That is, it's a sad reality, but you give so much hope because by recognizing some root causes on how we can help ourselves with the busy brain and some of the protocols that you share, it is going to save lives and it's going to give that hope and usher in that dawn so that we all can benefit from such a hard working career that we've really worked to achieve. And we need to help our patients as well, because burnout does not just exist in healthcare. It's in every,
it isn't. And actually, when I look at the overall global organizational wellness data, it's actually our educators that are suffering the most, then first line responders, then healthcare, right?
Yes.
Not just doctors, but also nurses and physical therapist and administrator. So this is a global crisis that you and I are out here educating and speaking on, you know?
Yes. I'm so grateful. Where can our listeners learn more and connect with you?
Yeah. Dr. Romy, DRROMIE at the website on LinkedIn. You can take the Busy Brain test for free on my social media, and you can buy the best-selling Busy Brain Cure anywhere books are sold, Amazon, Audible, Target, Walmart, globally around the world where books are sold.
Wonderful. Such a super fan of your work. Thank you so much for spending time with us here. And for those listening, please like, subscribe, and share this with your colleagues, your friends, anybody that could benefit from learning more about burnout and how you can help yourself. And like always, keep practicing that six vital sign of creativity, because you deserve to be a human being, not a human doing. And so thank you for coloring outside the lines with me. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening and subscribing to the Catalyst Podcast. My vision is a world without burnout, and my mission is to teach 1 million medical professionals how to tap into creativity and flow to increase joy and well-being. We all deserve a medical career that is self-expressive, unique, and creative. You can help by signing up for my newsletters. One of my highest values is gratitude, so I love giving back. And each newsletter is gamified. The more you share, the more you win. It's easy to sign up. Just go to drlaurasalyer.com/win. Thank you for coloring outside the lines with me.